Gracious Father, meet us now through your word.
Bring us your encouragement and hope, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Do have a seat. The story of Naaman being healed of his leprosy is a popular lesson at Sunday schools. We covered it at Messy Church back in March. Those of you who are there will remember a dramatic reworking of the story performed by the Messy Church team with Julia starring in the role of Naaman. And then there were crafts involving various aspects of Naaman before and after his healing, as well as lots of water. And the take-home message for the children was, everybody is a somebody. Everybody is a somebody to God. In God's kingdom, there are no nameless nobodies. Everyone is important. Everyone is loved. Everyone has a role to play. And in both of our readings this morning, I wonder if you noticed the nameless people who played quite a key role in what God was doing. Because there were quite a few nameless people in those two readings. Yes, there are the big names in the story, the people who get the sort of starring billing as the cast, as the credits would roll at the end of the story. The successful and valiant army commander, Naaman, now suffering from leprosy, the kings of Aram and Israel, the great prophet Elijah himself, they all get top billing. But I don't want to talk about them. I want us to focus on the people who aren't named, the people in the credits who would be first man in shop, second man in shop. A friend of mine, her brother-in-law is an actor in Ireland. He's an Irish actor, does a lot of Irish language, sort of equivalent of Coronation Street and Emmerdale Farm and things like that. And he was in a film starring Tom Cruise. And this was quite some time ago. And you had to really scan and pause the credit list to see that he was first man in bar. And there his name was. So I don't want to focus on the big names. I want us to think about the people who don't get named in these stories of remarkable healing. Suffering is sometimes how God gets our attention, I've found recently. C.S. Lewis once wrote that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. In other words, that's how he gets our attention. And Naaman had found out that all his military prowess wasn't enough to battle the enemy of leprosy. He was going to need something, someone far more powerful. God was about to get his attention. And God was going to do it to using a complete nobody, a nameless slave girl. We never find out her name, but she demonstrates some quite extraordinary qualities. Firstly, she has selfless compassion, because it might have been quite understandable given the circumstances if she'd not cared very much at all about what happened to Naaman. She'd been taken captive, forced to work as a servant in his household. And yet, she has pity on him. She has compassion for him. She wants to help him. And then she has complete faith that God could work through his prophet Elisha and cure Naaman. And finally, she takes courage and she speaks out to Naaman's wife. It wasn't really her place to be giving them advice, particularly suggesting that Naaman's cure lay in Israel, with Israel's God, Yahweh, the great God, and his prophet, rather than with the gods with the little g in Aram. But she took courage, she took the risk, and we don't even get to know her name. So off they set to Israel. initially to the king of Israel, much to his consternation, an understandable misunderstanding perhaps. Maybe the assumption had been something as serious as leprosy would need no less than a king to have the power to heal it. Well, close, but no cigar. Remember, in Israel, there is an even higher authority than the king. Enter Elisha. He gets big billing, doesn't he? Elisha, the man of God. Certainly an important somebody in this narrative. But interestingly, it isn't Elisha who tells Naaman what to do, to go and wash himself seven times in the Jordan River. It's a nameless messenger who gets that task, much to Naaman's disdain. This is a nobody. Naaman thinks he knows how this should play out, with a bit more performance, really, from the prophet himself, rather than simply washing in a river and sending his lackey to tell him. But Elisha knows it's not about him, that he doesn't need to go himself. This is all about God, and God has the power to act, whether Elisha is the one bearing the message or whether it is just a nameless messenger. And then again, it is a group of nameless servants who persuade Naaman to essentially swallow his pride when he's about ready to throw his toys out of the pram and to do as the messenger has told him. A nameless slave girl who shows compassion, faith, and courage. A nameless messenger who faithfully, and also probably quite bravely, conveys the prophet's message. And the nameless servants who encourage Naaman to listen, to set aside his prejudices and his pride, and follow the way that will lead to healing. Thank goodness for the nobodies, right? So here's my question. Do you think you're a nobody? Do you sort of think, in the grand scheme of things, that you're not terribly important? Do you think God couldn't possibly use you in any significant way? Well, if you do, great. You're exactly the sort of person God loves to use. All he needs to know is, can you show compassion? Do you have faith that he can act? Can he be just a little bit courageous? Could you pass on his message? Can you encourage someone? Because if so, God can use you. Jesus ups the ante. He usually does, doesn't he? He sends out no less than 72 nameless followers. These aren't just the 12 apostles whose names we know. This is now a wider group of disciples who have gathered around Jesus and begun to follow him. We don't know their names, but they're sent out not just with a message, but to do the healing themselves. Talk about a big ask. So right from the get-go, I want to say I firmly believe God does heal. But perhaps one of the most daunting things that we can do is praying for someone's healing, isn't it? We know that when we pray, sometimes, praise God, people experience the healing that they so desperately want. And we also know that sometimes they don't. And that is a tough square to circle. And I don't have any easy answers for that one. If we're confident to pray for healing, great. But if you feel daunted by that, then perhaps take some encouragement from exactly what it is Jesus says to those 72. The first thing they are to do, the very first thing they are to do, if you notice, when they go somewhere, is to pray peace upon people. Before they do anything else, and if they do nothing else, they are to pray for the person's peace, for their shalom. Whatever other healing might be needed or that God might bring, the most important kind of healing is their need for shalom, that wellness and wholeness, not just in body, but in mind and spirit, and in our relationships with others and with creation, and very importantly, with God. That is a kind of healing people can experience and need to experience, even if they are not cured. And that is something all we ordinary, not very special, nobody followers of Jesus can pray for someone's peace. Jesus also tells his followers, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. We're told in the Gospels, Jesus himself preached that message. He came preaching the good news that God's kingdom was near. That reign of shalom peace, of mercy, justice, compassion, and new life was within touching distance. And to demonstrate that, he healed people, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. So God's healing comes with a message, and the healing is the vehicle for that message, the proof of the message, and in many ways almost secondary to that message. For Naaman, the message that Elisha sort of says is that he would come for healing, and then he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. In other words, Naaman would then know that Yahweh, that God, is active and interacting in a powerful way with his world and his people through his word, through the prophet, and through the actions of his people. It's not such a different message to the one that the disciples had. Whether they were well received or not, the message was the kingdom of God has come near. If people do receive the healing that they want, not just the healing that they really need, that is absolutely fantastic, amazing, wonderful. But what God most wants to do for them is to meet with them, for them to know that he is near, and that whatever happens, he loves them, he's got them, he's right with them, and they can know his reign, they can know his peace in their lives. We can tell them that. We can share that message with them. We can demonstrate that to them and for them. Everybody is a somebody to God. Nobody is a nobody in God's kingdom. We can all be somebody that God can use in all kinds of ways to bring all kinds of healing to others. And our encouragement is this, that we would know that we're not nameless, because our name is written in his book. Amen.